So can you talk a little bit also about kind of what makes a farmer more risky, less risky? So you mentioned that, you know, right now kind of the working capital ratios being worked down. And I think that's worrying a lot of folks. We're kind of getting, you know, I tend to think of 20% being kind of the vulnerability region. So you got to stay above that in terms of working capital. So what makes some farmers more likely to be in that more vulnerable region? What makes them a little bit more likely to be in the more vulnerable region? Anything that you've seen that might give us some insights about what farmers might think about when they're making decisions about taking on more debt versus, you know, maybe saving a little bit from last year and self-insuring in case something bad happens again in the following year. What can you tell us about those dynamics, given this kind of uncertain time that we're in right now?
I think, at least in the Midwest experience, has been the major deviation is what you do on those 10-year decisions, right? So the degree to which you own the land that you operate and then the relationship for your – or the form of rental contract that you enter into. So we see a lot of times where, you know, farmers were making a lot of money when corn prices were really high. And so they didn't think a lot about committing to a cash rental rate. And a lot of those are annual. And so you can renegotiate, but there's sort of an implied length of that contract, even if it's only formally expressed as 1 year. It gets tough to negotiate down a rental agreement. So farmers are being way more careful in terms of acquiring new land, even through the rental market, and saying, well, you know, can I make – how long will this make sense for me? And then farmers also really evaluating sort of their machinery. I mean, a lot of farmers I interact with really love science, and they really love engineering. So the really cool techie piece of machinery or the really cool – piece of machinery is always attractive for that reason. But, you know, when you sit down and do the pencil and paper and try to figure out, you know, so what is the risk exposure I'm taking on by committing to this level of machinery? Those are the things those are the choices that really seem to be the ones that are the most important right now.
So what about when we've been through a period, and we were talking earlier about incomes, we've been through a period of sort of just extreme growth in incomes and then just as quickly coming down. What is the impact of that on some of the loans, the types of loans that you would see the bank's willingness to pay or to provide loans to farmers in those up times and down times?
Well, we were in a really favorable position as the ag sector coming out of the financial crisis, where the rest of the economy is sort of tanking, and the ag economy is really just going gangbusters, right? And so it's a time of relative advantage in the lending market, where at least the lenders I interact with, you know, we're excited to get more money into agriculture, right? And we can also see that in other forms with these like sort of growths in investing funds, or you know, this sort of like tech boom in agriculture, right? People are just figuring out ways to get exposure to that sector, because we're still very much the kind of traditional idea that if you wanted to be exposed to agriculture, you have to buy farmland or operate a farm or some combination of those two. So trying to find other ways for people to get exposure to that. And one of the ways is through lending. And so it was a period where, you know, a lot of people, despite the you know, we did have higher than average default rates in those times. It was still considered by many to be sort of the safe sector to invest in.